And I remember every morning just seeing people getting the bus every day, the same people, you know, and then thinking about, you know, to myself, like, it is what you want to do, like the whole life. You want to just wake up at 8:27, get the bus at 8:32, go to the job, you know. And I mean, it was a good job, kind of, but, you know, but you have somebody who tells you what you need to do. I mean, you cannot just say, like, I'm tired, I'll work out, you know, this afternoon. You cannot say that, you know. You have a boss who tells you, you need to do this. You have 30 days. You don't have 30 days, but let's say that you have 30 days, if you are very lucky, a year of holiday. I don't know, I felt very like a slave, you know. I didn't want all my life to be like that. So after 3 years, it started to kind of, you know, start to think like that.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 85, with founder of Sky Warrior Themes, Franz Cavatorta.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another edition of the Angles of Latitude podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, JC Preston, and in this session, I'm with the one and only Daniel Postma. We're part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people find their own personal freedom. And in this podcast, released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. This session is powered by sasbloom.com. How do you find programmers that you trust to do the work you need done? Sure, there's options like upwork.com or Fiverr where you can hire a freelancer, but it's, you know, it's a crapshoot in the kind of help that you can get on those sites. And sure, you might find someone great, or you might spend your wheels, you know, finding someone who's great at gaming the system. And the truth is, you really don't want to waste your time vetting those folks yourself. And it would be great if someone would actually do that work for you. That's where SaaSBloom comes in. Matej Laban founded SaaSBloom to help budding entrepreneurs find the right talent. And you know you can trust his vetted programmers because he knows exactly the type of talent that is needed to build a successful SaaS website. In fact, he's so good that he normally charges for his 30-minute discovery session, which he calls a software strategy call. And in this call, he shows people three simple ways that they could potentially reduce developmental costs of their new SaaS-based website. However, we have a deal for you. If you're listening to this podcast today, you can have your fee waived. All you have to do is go over to newinceptions.com/SaaSBloom, and you'll find a Google form where you can sign up to have a chat with Matej. Again, if you're interested in this awesome, awesome app opportunity, you can visit newinceptions.com/SaaSBloom. That's SaaSBloom, SaaSBloom. Okay, now today's guest is another gamer like me, and like me, he appreciates the kind of community that you can find on online gaming. And in fact, two of his best friends he met through gaming. Back when I was in high school and early college, a lot of my friends that I met were through online means, mostly through games and gaming community. So, you know, I get where he's coming from. And like me, he realized that he couldn't stay a fan of gaming forever and just being strictly a fan. I mean, as a gamer, many of us feel like we need to give back in one way or another. And so what he did was learn a new craft and started building WordPress themes for gaming guilds and clans. And today, Franz enjoys life by being able to travel at a whim and enjoy life with his gaming pals. In this conversation, we discussed the path to start his first business, ideal clients for Sky Warrior Themes, and his thoughts on how to build a gaming community online today. But don't be fooled. There's a ton of material in this one that applies to any business or future entrepreneur. Be sure to check out the show notes at newinceptions.com/85. And of course, I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today, I'm here with Daniel Postma. And today, we're actually a really special guest for both of us. And one I think a lot of you are going to like. You know, if you're like us, gamers at heart, you're really going to enjoy this conversation. And you know, there's a lot of ways that you can express your love and interest in geeky consumer products. And of course, you can, you know, be a consumer, but a lot of people decide that they're going to make something. You know, they have a lot of creators over at DeviantArt that are really big into, you know, drawing art based off of some of their favorite characters, their favorite games, things like that. And then you also have a lot of podcasters that just, you know, podcast about whatever, just for the heck of it. A couple of examples that we've had in our show recently, we had John Boersma on, who he was talking about cosplaying as a business, doing Jack Sparrow at different businesses, and he'll go in and play the part, and they'll hire him to kind of make boring presentations a little bit, you know, more fun. And then we also had Claude Herrera on, who's from halo.bungie.org, and he was sharing his secrets of building a rather huge online community. Today, we're chatting with another gamer-turned-entrepreneur. His name is Franz Cavatorta, and Franz is the founder of a company called Skywarrior Themes. And with this company, he's able to help communities of gamers, you know, clans, crews, guilds, whatever you want to call them, create their own hubs online so they can communicate with each other and prospects for their clans and guilds more functionally. What Franz and his company have been able to do is a great example of finding a niche and serving it. And today we're going to be finding out all about how he was able to flip that switch from gaming to helping his fellow gamers out in a meaningful way and building a business around it. So Franz, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Hello, guys. Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm actually not in my office, but in the sunny Tenerife these 2 weeks. So I'm pretty happy. Beach, sun, quite relaxing. But
living the life. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
Where are you from? I love your accent.
Yeah, apologies for my accent from the start, but I'm Italian. But I grew up actually in Canary Islands in Spain. So, yeah. My accent is what it is, so I'm sorry in advance.
So do you speak Italian or Spanish or just English?
Yeah, I speak Italian, Spanish, and I went to university in London. So I also speak...
Buongiorno.
Yeah. I like to travel a lot, I guess, so yeah.
Awesome. So did you grow up playing video games? What was your first video game?
Yeah, I mean, I started, I think, when I was in... primary school, I would say, with a really old CS 1.4, I think.
Counter-Strike.
You know, I would go to a cyber cafe and, you know, play with my friends there. I mean, we're talking about way back before even people have, you know, their old 56K connection, these kind of things.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When I got to college in 2000, yeah, it was 2000, late 2000, especially 2001. I mean, that was like the game of the dorms. Like, you'd walk down like every room and everybody was on Counter-Strike. It was hilarious, but
yeah,
awesome. Good times.
yeah, but I mean, I actually met a lot of, you know, friends in the cyber cafe because, I mean, now it's a bit, everybody plays online, whatever, but at the time, there was no online. I mean... Mm-hmm. So you had to go and socialize, so to speak, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Was that the only game that you ever got really into, or is there some other ones that were really big in your life?
Then I'm a big, huge fan of Final Fantasy. It was one of my first games that I used to play in PlayStation 1. It was Final Fantasy, 8. So I arrived a bit late to the party, but I know everybody's crazy for Final Fantasy 7. But I arrived 8 and then I play 9 and 10 and I have, like, you know, the old book guide, how to play tricks and trips and Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, got to get those game guides, man. I remember how popular those used to be. It was great. Yeah. Another thing that I remember when I was my freshman early times at college was that like for me, I was a fan of Bungie, and Bungie's known today more predominantly for making a game called Halo, and you know that's yeah. where I met Claude and all that sort of stuff. Well, one of the things you had to do when you were playing Halo 1 multiplayer was that you had to have multiple game consoles all brought together, and so you would see all these gamers like bring their huge, you know, CRT TVs and carry them down a couple flights of stairs with their consoles and all this stuff. And then, you know, hoping that they're all going to start communicating together when you plug them all in. And yeah, I'm glad we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Well, yeah, but actually people do that now with the LAN parties, right? Like even like for CS or, I mean, I'm a big fan of CS now. So, I mean, people do that. And even with StarCraft, two, and you know, I think that kind of getting together, even if now everything is online, is still quite active, right?
Well, I think that, I guess saying that the option is there to do that, I guess my biggest thing is I don't have to do that anymore. You can just hop on, like, you know, Xbox Live or whatever, and you know, you're playing people on your side of the world, which is totally cool. So yeah, that was a big change for me whenever I could play people from, you know, Brazil, Europe, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, oh yeah.
It's really interesting that you bring up that, like, you had to go and meet these people in person. Because, like, stereotypically, you think of a gamer now, like, and people think of somebody maybe being alone in their basement. So for you, like, how is that different? Do you like to play with people all around you? Is it more of like a friend thing? Like, what's it like for you?
I mean, for me, the gaming world is something that is really a passion. So I mean, I think it's borderline, I wouldn't say addictive, but sometimes, you know, it's a bit borderline addictive, I'll say. So, but at the same time, for me, gaming is something that where I meet a lot of friends. Actually, two of my best friends, and I met them in the game called Rust. I don't know if you guys heard of it. It's pretty popular. Mm-hmm. It's like, for the listeners who don't know, Rust is a survival world game, something similar to DayZ, but you can build, you know, houses and all that.
Right.
And I remember that basically I was in just playing in one server, an Italian server. And generally in this kind of survival kind of games, people tend to kill you on sight. And I was building a house, you know, I was building a house next to these guys. And I was like, hey, are you guys friendly? Yeah, we're friendly. And then, you know, I got their Skype, and actually last summer I went with them on a holiday. And for me, that is gaming, you know. Obviously you always get the 12-year-old kid who insulted your mom, but you know, but if you can. But for me, I was trying to find like people who I can not only play with only in the game, but you know, if we became friends and play different games, then it's even better, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I met some of my best friends on video games as well, actually. Well, at the time, they were my best friends.
Oh,
for sure.
Harsh.
Not that they're not anymore, just like I've made a lot of really good friends in the last year. So it's like, I don't know if I'd say that those people are my best friends anymore, but at the time they were.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is that you can meet a lot of people online. So, I mean, it's like everything. If you do it too much, then, you know, I mean, you can die from drinking too much water. So, you know, if you do it too much, then it's not good, I guess.
So you said you're in the Canary Islands. What's the weather like there, and what kind of lifestyle do you have there? Is it difficult making ends meet as an entrepreneur, or how are things going for you?
Well, my entrepreneur life started really when I was in London, Canary Islands. I grew up here from a 5-year-old until I was 17. Mm. Well, 18, which is, you know, when you finish high school. Here, the weather is great. At the moment, I'm looking outside and it's like blue sky, no clouds, 25 degrees. So it's pretty good.
25 degrees Celsius.
For those. Yeah, sorry. 25 degrees Celsius. I don't know the American.
I think that's roughly in the 70s, maybe.
Yeah, so here, if you said 25 degrees Fahrenheit, that would mean like -5 Celsius or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, so we would be like 25. That's so cold.
Yeah, I think you're looking at what 25. That's high 70s, low 80s. I think so.
Basically, it has the same weather as Miami because it's in
there.
Same
you go. All right, there you go. Oh, there
you
yeah,
go. You guys know.
So right? 80s, got it. All right.
So, but,
go ahead.
I mean, work wise is not great. Because there's not many opportunities and a lot of my friends either are working in the supermarket or they went out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously it's not there, but I moved to London when I was 18. And then there I did game development, which is nothing, to do with what I do now, to be honest, but,
At least you got into the right major. I went into electrical engineering thinking that was going to land me a game development position eventually.
Well, yeah. But still though, it's nothing to do. Like, you know, games development, you do like C#, C++. Mm-hmm. And what I do now is like Photoshop, HTML, CSS, you know, it's like completely different.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But I think it still takes the same kind of skills. I mean, and you were able to pick those up. I mean, how long did you kind of take to go from, you know, basically having to learn a new kind of coding technique and mind frame for CSS? I'm still working on that, to be honest with you.
I mean, I always been kind of like artistic kind of guy, even mm-hmm. if I'm not very good at drawing, like hand draw, but I thought like, oh, game development, I will be able to make games. But it's not really like that. I mean, games development means development. So, you know, they give you everything that has to do with the sprites and all this kind of stuff. And you have to code. I mean, at the time at the university, you have to code pure C++ or C#. And I'm not really a backend developer kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, right. I discovered in the university. No, I'm not that good. I've been late, but yeah. But like, luckily, one of my teachers, actually the games development teacher, mm-hmm. He was very cool with me, and I was like, hey, give me a hand to find a job, you know, in the industry, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And he actually hooked me up with an old student of his that she was working at a digital agency. And I had no idea of what I was doing, like no idea, zero. I created like, you know, this kind of like WordPress-like, but before WordPress, this kind of like forums that you can just install in your server and create everything.
Yeah, like PHBBB. Yeah, PHBBB.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I went to the interview and I was like, oh, I did this. And the guy's like, oh, you did this? You programmed this? I'm like,
sure.
Well, I installed it and I kind of applied the design kind of thing. And he was like, okay, I will give it a go. And then, you know, from there, then you just do whatever you need to do to survive. And
especially it's like, well, can you make this? Can you make it look like that? Sure. Give me a lot of time to figure out how to do
Let me just look that up on Google real quick.
Yeah.
It was like this, literally. But you know, there was one designer there already, and I mean, he wasn't paying me, so he was like, okay, I will hook you up, I will help you out. And you know, mm-hmm. basically he was teaching me everything. But I mean, actually answering your question, I think, you know, if you know nothing and you want to do HTML CSS from scratch, I think if you maybe spend a couple of hours every day, I think in maybe two, 3 months, you'll be able to be very good at it.
Mm.
Mm-mm. Cool. Okay, well, you'll be...
And going through a lot of YouTube videos, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way that to learn, really. I mean, I know it's a bit harsh to say, but university, it really doesn't teach you much. I mean, for me, at least for my feeling, university is like, okay, I have this degree, that's it, you know. Sure, I did some things, but you can do anything online now, like literally almost everything. Obviously, if you need to study law, then fine. But in our kind of like area of development and designing, you know, you don't need university. By the way, you should do university. But
I think the reason to do go to university or college, what we call it over here in the States, is, you know, it's a good way to meet people, you know. And But for what you're saying, I mean, I agree 100% is that it essentially gives you a degree to search for higher jobs. And, you know, if you look into any of the futurist stuff, which I'm kind of always paying attention to that myself, I mean, it's not too long down the road where, you know, we're going to be able to plug ourselves into the web, which is kind of scary, but cool at the same time. And what's the point of having a university anymore at that point anyway? So
I really like having a body. So I think I don't want to plug my brain into the computer and disappear entirely.
You old school thinker, you.
I agree. I think like it's a very good place to meet people, university, because I mean, that's the main thing that I think whoever is thinking of going to university or is at university at the moment, it's like you are there to meet people and make and do, you know, create contacts. Because in the end of the day, when you finish university, it's not that it's going to be like, oh, wow, I know how to build rockets, you know. I mean, maybe if you do rocket science, but you get the point.
Right, exactly. So you went into this early unpaid, it's kind of like an internship then is what I'm hearing. Is that you kind of were able to help that? So, how long did it take you to realize that the job life wasn't necessarily for you? And then, where did you start looking into, you know, developing your own business so that you could have your own freedom?
I went. My university in London was 3 years. I did 2 years. As a full-time, you know, university student. And then the last year, I decided that, also for financial reasons, I went into internship, but it was basically full-time internship with this first company. Mm-hmm. And then they fired me after 6 months. I don't know why, but you can imagine why, I guess.
Downsizing, sure, we'll call it that, right?
And then I guess lucky always counts a bit, but after a couple of weeks, I found another internship full-time again. So, you know, I will be working every day, normal hours, like from 9 until 5:30. And then I will study the university stuff in the evenings and in the weekends. Mm-hmm. So this took me 2 years instead of 1 year, the final year, it took me 2 years to finish university. But I mean, the good thing is when I finished, then I had 2 years already of experience.
Experience, right. Exactly.
So, yeah. So when I continued in my second job, which I was still junior, I was earning a bit more, you know, but nothing like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I remember in the mornings when going to work, you know, you have to wake up. I'm not a very morning person, so I would have to be there at 9. So I wake up like 8:27 to take the bus of 8:32, you know, like everything perfect. And I remember every morning just seeing people getting in the bus. Every day the same people, you know, and then thinking about, you know, to myself, like, is this what you want to do? Like the whole life, you want to just wake up 8:27, get the bus at 8:32, go to the job, you know. And I mean, it was a good job,
yeah,
kind of, but you know, but you have somebody who tells you what you need to do. I mean, you cannot just say like, I'm tired, I'll work out you know, this afternoon. You cannot say that. You know, you have a boss who tells you, you do this, you have 30 days. You don't have 30 days, but let's say that you have 30 days, if you are very lucky, a year of holiday. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, I felt very like a slave, you know. I didn't want all my life to be like that. So after 3 years, it started to kind of, you know, start to think like that. Because obviously the first year, you're like, great, I have a job, this is awesome. Second year, yeah, it's still cool. Third year, I started to think like this. And then basically I started to you know, tell myself, okay, I need to do something. So, you know, online, I tried a lot of things, like from internet marketing, you know, pay-per-click, these kind of things, to finding clients. I mean, really everything.
About what time was this? What time was, what was the year frame exactly when you were doing this?
It was
2007, 8?
Let's see, it's 17 now, so maybe I was 21, so maybe 6 years ago.
Okay,
so
6 years ago.
2010, okay. 2011, gotcha. More or less.
Yeah, that's about the right time. 2010, yeah, I was kind of interested in the pay-per-click myself back then, so, yeah.
Yeah, I was 21, 22, I think, yeah. Yeah, so basically I found ThemeForest in the summer of 2012. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry, 2012 is when it was the year that I started my business. So, well, late 2012, but the summer of 2012, I found ThemeForest and I made just a design because ThemeForest, sorry, for whoever doesn't know, is a WordPress premium theme marketplace. So I guess I need to explain a bit what ThemeForest is.
Yeah.
What WordPress is. So WordPress is a platform where you can install in your server or hosting and, you can create your own, website easily. So, just by admin, via admin panel, you know, just create the website.
Right. And that's comparable to other things like Squarespace or Wix, where for you, it's actually something that you install, and you know, it's a few more steps. But in the long run, I think, at least for me, when I'm telling people, I think it's worth it versus, you know, using those other platforms. So
yeah.
Anyway, I mean, yeah,
WordPress, you have complete control.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wix, you're hosting it in their server, so. If you want to delete something, I don't think you can, but in any case. So, and WordPress has these premium themes, and by themes, I mean like looks, let's say, where you can change from the look to also the functionality of the website.
Right. And so basically think of WordPress as the skeleton, the muscle. Well, it's not even the skeleton. It's the muscle that you would put on the skeleton. The skeleton's more like the hosting. And then the theme is more like the decoration of...
Yeah, the skin. The skin, yeah.
The skin, right.
Correct, yeah. So ThemeForest is a marketplace, let's say like eBay. But instead of everything, you just sell WordPress themes. Because you can obviously have free ones or premium ones. Premium ones, you have a much better design, much better functionality, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So in ThemeForest, you have a lot of different sections, but mainly the main three ones is PSD, so Photoshop files, HTML, CSS, which is only the look, let's say, and the whole WordPress installation, so look functionality and all that. And at the time, I didn't know anything about WordPress. So I was like, I was mainly a designer. I was doing HTML, CSS also, but, and I was like, okay, well, let's give it a go. And I just made a design of our first theme, which is called Horizon. And obviously it was it was not accepted because Theme Forest has a review process, and mm-hmm. if it's not perfect, then you know they are not going to accept it. And so I let it on the side for a couple of months until I think December or November of the same year, 2012, when I had some free time and I was tired of trying like internet marketing and wasting money on those kind of stuff. I was like, okay, well, let's see if I can get it approved. And after maybe a month of changes and, you know, speaking with them, I got it approved. And the first month, I made something like, I think, $300, $400. Hmm. You know, which, I mean, it's not much, but no, like, wow, no. Okay. I mean, I made something and, you know, it's selling. I was like, that's not bad.
Right.
And then I saw that the HTML, maybe it will sell double. Yeah, I mean, generally, you see, you know, that there are other themes that maybe they made the PSD, HTML, and WordPress. Other right. ones just make WordPress straight away or only mm-hmm. PSD. And I saw that the WordPress one is sold maybe like multiply 5 or something like this. I was like, whoa, okay, then anime, HTML, CSS, and then I hired some Indian guy to make the WordPress, which it didn't work out very well, actually. Because they didn't approve it, and then finally I met my colleague, which we are partner now in the business, who helped me as a development, and it got approved. And the first month I made around like $2,000. I was like, whoa, okay. I mean, we are starting to talk about, you know, decent money. At least I don't know. At least for
right.
for Spain, it's okay, you know.
Yeah, totally. So are you more of the marketing side now, more of the clientele, and he's kind of like the actual developer then, or how?
Well, yeah, you can say so. At the moment, I am the front end guy, so I do mainly design and HTML, CSS, mm-hmm. and I also kind of deal with the marketing part ish. I mean, we share it really, but you know, generally, if you have to talk with clients or this kind of stuff, I kind of do it. And he's deals with all the backend boring stuff that I don't want to deal with, and that he likes. So it's yeah. like it's a win-win.
He probably says the same thing about you. Yeah, he's yeah, like, exactly. I get to do all the fun yeah. building stuff, yeah. and Franz does the boring marketing.
Yeah, totally true, totally true. And he also deals with the support a bit. He mainly does that. But obviously, you know, it's in the end of the day, partners should help each other. So, you know, we are really great friends now. So we really help each other as much as we can. But yeah.
We so when did you well start? Together. When did you start moving into your niche for gaming then?
Oh, yeah, good question. Actually, well, I think I started from the beginning. Is something as I said, I've always been a gamer, and at the time when I was checking Theme Forest, I saw that there were not many gaming websites. I think there was one or two, which it didn't look very good at all, and it sold quite well. I was like, oh, well, you know, you can see that it's a niche that is not very tapped. So our first theme, again, is called Horizon. It was a gaming theme. Mm. And since then, we tried to mainly make gaming themes, even if we try different things, like we create one, which you can create a Kickstarter type of website, and you know, multi-purpose, this kind of stuff. But mainly, we try to go into the gaming niche, which is what really we like. So,
great. And so, you did a lot of online sales, and just creating revenue like that. But eventually, you moved into actually working with clients directly. So how did you move from working on like the straight up the marketplace to getting like your first client sale?
I think one very important thing about any business is you should never, never have only one source of income.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important because, you know, what they say, don't put all your eggs in the same basket, right?
Right, right, right.
So we try to diversify a bit. Till now, I think around 50% of our yearly income is still in themes.
Mm-hmm.
But clients generally come organically because, you know, in Theme Forest, and I think generally online, we are, I dare to say, one of the best, if not the best, gaming WordPress themes.
Okay.
So, you know, because of that, we have quite a lot of exposure, you know, again, in Theme Forest and generally.
Right.
So, obviously, because of that, a lot of clients come organically. But I don't know, we actually are thinking maybe of doing some kind of like campaign or something like this, maybe hiring a salesperson to look for more clients. But at the same time, it would be much nicer if we could create a new product to sell, because, you know, obviously it's easier to sell a product than,
right,
you know,
and services than, Yeah,
than services. But I mean, clients, I like working with clients also, because when you make a good job and the client is happy with the website, you know, and even their business grow, it's a win-win for all of us, because obviously we get more job, you know, they get more sales, or, you know, more exposure, whatever the client's looking for, then it's great.
So what kind of clients are you guys thinking about moving into then?
Well, now, until now, we specialize almost only into gaming clients. So from, let's say, I mean, we have three kind of like client persona. One would be from the, you know, teenager to the big, one would be somebody who wants to create a clan / team website. Or, you know, their clan. So it can be either from the teenager who, you know, just wants to spend $60 to create a simple website.
Mm-hmm.
So he just buys one of our themes.
The original theme, themes.
Yeah. Yep. To maybe some big client, some big company, or, you know, a proper esport professional team, which wants a fully custom website. Secondly, it would be somebody who maybe wants to create a blog. So again, generally they buy our themes, but then maybe, oh, I would like this section, or, you know, I would like to do the marketing, you know, this kind of area. And thirdly would be, generally the third client is custom work, which is people who make their own games. So games developers, who, they just want a website to showcase their game. So that's our three main client persona. But then again, I mean, we also work with clients which has nothing to do with gaming. So, I mean, realistically for us, if somebody needs help with their website and the project sounds cool, then, you know, we always are happy to help.
When you're talking about building a site for somebody, for instance, what are the things that people never consider that they actually need? Like, people think that they need this and this and this, but what are you aware of, like, for people, like, when they build a clan, what kind of things do people say that they want, and what do they actually need?
I mean, again, we are talking about people who want to create, like, a clan now, for example?
Yeah.
For people who, again, want to create a clan, well, generally for people who want to create a website, you need two things. Either you use a website like Wix, which is fully hosted and, you know, is okay if you want to create the website for, you know, your bakery kind of thing. Or, you know, if you want to go something a bit more professional, then you can install WordPress. And there you you will need a hosting. But you know, not everybody knows how to create, how to, you know, hire hosting, all this kind of stuff. So we also provide that for the client.
What's the benefit of having your own site instead of just having like using some other, is there other services out there people can use to make clans? Or is there, like, I know Discord, for example, is a app people use to chat, use voice chat and also talk to their teammates and stuff. What's the benefit of having your own website versus using a service?
Or even like something like, even like a Reddit, you know, because I've seen a lot of people moving over to subreddits and just creating, you know, a thread in there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, again, it depends what you are looking for. Obviously, if you want a simple, easy website, again, for, you know, for the, your bakery, and you don't really care how the website looks, then sure, you can go for a service. You know, it's not. Oh, even in WordPress, you can, you have the their own hosting thing. But if you, let's say that you have, you are a clan, three of our themes, you can create, you can allow users to create clans, and to fight each other, and to create tournaments. You know, these kind of things, you, a service cannot do. I mean, can do, but there are no services who do this.
Right.
And maybe you want to, for example, have it fully customized because, you know, you want to change your logo, you want to change the design structure of the site, you want to add functionality. Maybe you don't want the user to be able to create a clan. You want only the admin to be able to create a clan. And generally, services, you know, don't allow you to do these kind of things. So, I mean, obviously having our own website, it means that you can do whatever you want with it. And the possibilities are really... You know, if you have money, are endless, so to speak.
Right. Well, and the other another thing that I think is that we want to make sure that we don't overlook is that with Wix, you're essentially renting. I mean, you're renting hosting space anyway, more than likely for WordPress. But with Wix, I think you're probably paying maybe twice as much to get less services. And again, it's not as robust. It's not something that you can have full control over.
Plus, they have all your database information. You have no access to the database.
Right.
You know, all the emails of all your users, they can access it. Mm-hmm. I mean, your hosting provider, obviously, you know, they have the service, so they can access it too if they want to. But I'm pretty sure, I mean, there is a kind of terms and services which they say that they don't steal these kind of things.
Right.
Also you have your own hosting, so it's like you have your own PC running 24/7 in your room, but instead of having your room, it's in, you know, they host it for you. But that's the main principle. It's not somebody who just, you know, host it for you without security on this kind of stuff. Yeah.
How would somebody go ahead and find, so let's say they have their website up and running for their clan, but nobody's like coming and hanging out there. How do people actually get, like, start building a community around the product or site that they have? Like, they built a cool site and then they just, nobody shows up.
Yeah, good question. Everything depends on marketing. That's generally how internet works, right? Well, how product works, but let's say that you have a clan and you want to create... Okay, let's say that you play CS and you have a group of friends and you want to create a clan. So you buy one of our themes, you install it, you know, $60, done, easy peasy. You can change your logo, color, all this kind of stuff. And then you say, okay, guys, we're going to put the matches that we play in our website, and maybe you have another clan that wants to fight you. So you can always say, hey, come here to the website, please join, and, you know, add the score, this kind of stuff. So this would be an example of small website where, you know, it's only clan-based. Then you have another option where it would be the developer who makes a game. And in that sense, people will come organically, because if you make a game and the game is liked, then, you know, generally there will, a fan base will be created. I mean, just because people like the game. From online to offline doesn't really matter, because, you know, there are people who do cosplay, this kind of stuff. But if, obviously, if you have a website that people don't come in, and let's say that you like World of Warcraft and you create a website which is World of Warcraft blog.com, and people don't come in, then you have to do marketing, which it can be either paid marketing, you know, like Facebook advertising, or you can do also organic marketing. So you will create different kind of blogs with the right keywords that they will rank up well in Google. So when somebody Googles latest armor for, you know, WoW 1. Whatever, I don't play WoW, so sorry, I'm a bit ignorant in the side, but for new WoW expansion, blah, 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 then your blog post will be first. So then they click on it and people reach.
Right. The whole time you've been talking, I've just been thinking about this. You were talking about how university, like, really doesn't teach you anything. Like, you kind of go there and you meet people. And I was just thinking, it would be so cool if there was a website where developers of all different kinds could go on and post tutorials of how they learned how to do something, and they can get paid for it. Like, you could post, like, how you learned how to do web hosting and make a couple of short videos that explain it, and someone could buy your course for, like, $9 or $12 or whatever, and then people's courses could get upvoted and stuff like that as people use them and see if they're helpful, and, like, just make, like, a niche for people who are interested in, like, game development and marketing games and building communities.
That's quite cool, actually. I don't know if there's something already going on, but, I mean, it's a good idea. Can you guys just delete this podcast and I'll write the idea down and they are created?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. It's like let's just forget what we were doing now. Let's all quit our businesses and let's go full time into this new project. Yeah.
Just delete the podcast. Nobody's listening to it. No, just delete it. Too good of an idea.
So, like, going on into 2017 here, I mean, what's the future of Skywarrior Themes? Are you looking to get into plugins at all? Or, I mean, you just pretty much focused in clientele work? Or where are you going?
Good question. Okay, well, let's say that for now we are looking for to do more client work, because I think if we could get some clients that, you know, they bring work every month, then that would be great, obviously. But we also looking to do maybe more themes or more projects like what we just talked about. Maybe some ideas that we have that it could work, and we could just take some money and put into marketing and see if it works. For example, last year we looked into doing some gambling site for CSGO. I don't know if you guys are aware, but all this skins trading thing going on. Anyway. I don't think people like
it. Is it illegal?
Tell us more. What?
Okay, you know, basically CSGO now, the latest Counter-Strike, you can buy skins for the weapon. So, you know, you let's say that you buy a knife. Actually, there's a box that you can open with real money. So you get boxes in-game and you can open them. You can buy a key from Steam to $1 or $2, and you can open the box, and that box will throw out a skin which you can equip. So instead of, you know, the M4, instead of looking full black, it will be like, I don't know, with a dragon next to it or whatever. Some of these skins cost a lot of money. Like, I'm telling about like maybe thousands of dollars for one skin.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And there is this gambling site that start to appear that basically people gamble, let's say Russian, let's say blackjack or, you know, poker or whatever, but instead of using money, using these skins, which is basically money, you know, but skins. So we were thinking of doing something similar, but I don't know, it's a bit dodgy because this kind of, generally the people who play there are kids, you know? So I don't know, morally it's a bit like, I don't know, you are gambling money of kids. So I don't know if I'm ready to do that.
That's crazy though. But I mean, the thing is that there's always these emerging marketplaces, whether or not, I mean, honestly, who would have thought that, you know, back when Halo 2 was big, right? You had these additional discs that you just buy on for DLC, right? And so the money was actually there. And now if you look at, like, for example, my game of choice is GTA, and they're constantly just releasing new tidbits here and there. And, you know, the reason is because people will pay that in-game money. They'll pay for what are called shark cards. They'll pay real money for in-game money to buy these new things. And it's completely, completely, you know, legit. So, yeah, I'm sure that.
Yeah, that's legit because you're buying something from the game itself, but you're not like gambling money, you know? I mean, if you're 18, and you gamble money, is your fault, but...
Yeah, but again, then, I mean, it's like, if it's a thing in real life, why not apply it to in-game? So, anyway, it's just, you know, I think it's just another example of how real life is merging with virtual life, you know?
Yeah.
I think also, as virtual life is merging with real life, also kids are less separate from adults. Like, you can be a kid and be in business nowadays, being on, with the way that online works.
Yeah,
and my sister, like, yesterday just spent, like, $20 on a video game that she plays. But it's, like, there's little kids that have YouTube videos with millions of views and that make substantial amounts of money.
Yeah.
And I think, like, less and less in the future, like, we'll see that distinction of, like, oh, man, like, he's a little kid, like, you know, he's helpless.
But,
like,
I'm sorry you missed out on the 90s, Daniel, on having a real childhood.
I did miss out on having a real childhood.
But I'm actually quite worried now because, you know, I'm going to be 28 this year. And I was actually talking with my dad the other day about it. And, you know, now until, I guess, my generation, you know, we actually were the last generation that had, at until 14, 15, we didn't have any, you know, real mobile phone, so to speak. I mean, yeah, sure, you have the big old one, but you don't have an iPhone full of, you know, everything now. And I'm I wouldn't say worried, but, you know, think of what to do, because, like, hopefully I will have a kid eventually, you know, they will have a iPhone or Android, I guess, but with everything on it all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, before you have to go out and socialize with kids and stuff, and now, you know, he just doesn't need to.
They're just plugging in. They're plugging in from day one. I mean, it's so much easier to show them a series of YouTube videos, and, you know, count that as their learning years. Like when I was growing up, it would have been again Sesame Street. But now it's just like, here, show them random weird videos on YouTube, and that will hold their attention. And that's starting them being, you know, dependent on online. It's just, you know, it's definitely, definitely interesting.
I mean, I guess the solution is not to give it like a phone until he's like, you know, whatever, 14 or something.
Right.
But again, is that also the solution? I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we're going to move on to the rapid fire questions now, if you're ready.
Yep. Shoot.
So here we go. Question number one. Who are three influencers or teachers that have launched you to where you are today?
My teacher in university. Is the guy who I was talking before.
Mm-hmm.
He was my university teacher for gaming, the games development course. I guess second guy will be my dad. since he's always been an entrepreneur since he was young, and he has different businesses. So he, in that sense, I'm actually quite happy that, you know, I got this kind of like entrepreneur spirit from him.
Okay. Yeah, you did have that early influence. It's awesome.
I'm actually quite lucky in that sense. And the third guy, good question. I don't know. I mean, I don't really have heroes. I guess maybe now would be Elon Musk. I think he's a really cool guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, reading about his story that, you know, he started from zero, and he basically created PayPal. It's crazy. And he gambled, in the sense, like, all his PayPal money into creating SpaceX. You know, it's just you know, very, very good. I know he sounds like a very cool guy. It would be awesome to meet him one day.
Yeah.
The guy Alibaba was.
What was that?
The Alibaba guy, what's his name?
Oh, Alibaba. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Anyway.
Crap. What is the hardest thing you've ever had to say no to?
I guess in business, right? I think sometimes you have this kind of clients that you know that, I mean, the money is good for the project, and it happened 2 or 3 times, but you just see the client that is going to be, you know, it's just going to be really hard to work with him, a classic, you know, micromanaging client. By the way, if you are a client, please don't micromanage. Just keep it out there. And because, you know, the thing is, if you hire me to do a website, you should at least listen to what I have to say, because if I go to a mechanic and I say my car is broken, you know, he will tell me, okay, it's broken because of this, or, you know, he knows his expertise. So it's my job to know how to make a website and how your website should work. So when you're micromanaging, what you're doing is you are just basically hiring somebody to do, you know, the slave work for you instead of hiring me as a professional.
Right.
So sometimes you have to fire clients and say no to clients because of that, because I know that the stress is not going to be worth it. So I guess.
I love that. I love that analogy that you use for a mechanic. It's very useful because everybody can relate. Because, you know, the thing is that most people don't know that much about their cars, right? And
yeah, I mean,
why do you think that there would be, you know, that you would know if you were to be someone's client that you know more about them than whatever you're hiring them for, right?
Yeah. Especially doing, you know, obviously, when you come to us, then we talk, you know, we have calls and we really want to get into how you feel about the website, what you want to with the website, what you want to achieve, you know, your audience, your market. But after knowing all this information, then we can help you creating the best website ever. But, you know, if you are a bank, let's say, and you want to make a pink website with elephants, then, you know, I have to tell you that elephants and pink is not very good because, you know, you should make it, you know, white and maybe blue because, you know, the blue is a color that express tranquility. So when the user comes to the site, we'll be like, okay, you know, it's a professional site. It's not tense when you need to make transactions on these kind of things, you know. But if you want something like, you know, with elephants, then it doesn't really make much sense.
Awesome. What's something that you wish was still a thing that's not anymore?
To be honest, I know it sounds a bit, I don't know. I still have the nostalgia of going to the cyber cafe and playing with my friends there. I don't know. I think it was an awesome time. Like, Maybe it's not just nostalgia, but, you know, it was much, much better than I was thinking, you know, the whole morning, like, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to go this afternoon after lunch that my mom let me just go there and spend like 5 hours cursing each other because, you know, he killed me in CS.
Right.
But it was awesome, you know. And then, you know, when you come back and you're like, oh, that was awesome today, you know. And yeah. I kind of miss that. It doesn't, I mean, I still have it from time to time.
Yeah.
But, you know, be able to kind of like throw something to somebody when he kills you is much nicer than having to shout it.
easier than having those online 12-year-olds just, you know, again breaking it to you that your mom's a dirty blank, right?
So Yeah, exactly. I kind of miss that actually. It's very nostalgic.
What a basic life skill are you constantly amazed people lack?
I will say, I can't find the word. Well, let's say something like general knowledge, or more than general knowledge is...
What's the common sense?
Thank you. Yes, common sense. And I think that obviously comes from knowledge, but common sense is something that, to be honest, not many people have, you know? And you can see it at work and in generally in life, and it's something that the world would be much nicer if people have more common sense, I think. especially at work.
And it seemed to me, and a couple of my friends, when we were in school, we'd always kind of make that analogy, or not necessarily analogy, but there's going to be a lot of people that are book smart, right?
Yeah.
At least in college. They're book smart, but they don't have that much common sense. And it was always like, I think we started coming up with like, yeah, they're smart, but they're not that intelligent.
Yeah. And so, the other also thing that I really would like, I mean, that was one of the reasons because I actually wanted to do this podcast is that, you know, I really would like to the listeners to maybe somebody who is, who is not sure if he wants to create, start his own business, or, you know, he's just scared of doing something or not. You know, the other thing that maybe being generous, 85, 90% of people don't have is the courage to say, you know, whatever, I'm just going to do it. And, you know, because in life, you can be two things. You can be the guy who works for somebody else, or you can be the guy who tells somebody else what to do, you know. So you have to choose. You want to work for somebody else, or you want other people to work for you. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the easy one is you work for somebody else, right?
Yeah.
But if you want success in life, and at least for me, success equals to a happy life, because, you know, I can do whatever I want now. Like, obviously, I speak with my colleague about it, but if right. I want to say, okay, tomorrow I want to go 10 days to Thailand or whatever, I can go, you know. There's nobody who is telling me, no, you have to be there here tomorrow at 9.
Well, and something else that like, going off what you just said, is you don't even have to think about it as being, you know, the person that's telling other people what to do. You're the person that's working with other people. You're not necessarily, you know, working for other people.
Yeah, right. I mean, again, you shouldn't be a boss. You should be a leader, exactly. So, it was my bad analogy, but that's the other thing that is really important. You know, that even let's say that you're working full time, because I hear a lot of people who are like, oh, you know, but I work full time. I don't have time. I have kids. I have this. I have that. You know, if I could go to university and work full time, I'm pretty sure you can do the same. You know, you can find the weekends or whatever, spend a couple of hours into doing anything. I mean, you can learn CSS, HTML in, let's say, 6 months, let's say. You know, there's no reason you not to be able to do whatever you want, you know, and have the life that you want. There's literally no reason. It's just...
Wow, that's brilliant.
I mean, it's just being... In the end of the day, it's just being afraid and not... And a lot of people don't know that they're afraid, you know? They are just giving excuses. It's like, oh, you know, I'm working, so I don't have time. I work from 9 to 5, I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. I mean, cool, but you are not never gonna achieve what you want to do if you don't put effort on it. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna be hard, but it's so rewarding. Like when things go well, and they generally don't go well, but when they go well, let's keep it straight. It's really hard. But, you know, it's very stressful. But when things go well, you know, you can be in Tenerife, 25 degrees Celsius, whatever the American mm-hmm. one is, and you know, just yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. That was the main thing I wanted to say in this podcast. That I said it, I'm happy now. But
yeah, good. And then the last question kind of ties into that rapid fire question. What's the secret to achieving personal freedom? And what does personal freedom mean to you? Also,
yeah. I mean, I think I just answered it now.
I know.
I think for me, personal freedom is being able to do whatever I want, anytime I want, and to do that. I know it sounds bad, but you need money because, you know, you need some minimal amount of money because if you want to go to, let's say, Tokyo 2 years or, I mean, Tokyo for like a holiday or whatever, you know, you need money to do that. Mm-hmm. And to be able to do that for me, my first dream was to start a business by myself to actually be free. Now my next dream, so quote unquote, is to have enough money to do whatever I want. I mean, by whatever I want, I'm not saying like, you know, buy 5 Ferraris and have 3 boats, you know.
Right.
That, I mean, if it's something that you want to do, great, but it's
you want money to give you options.
Yes. To be able to go to a supermarket and not say like, oof, this steak costs $10 and this steak costs $3. I need to buy, you know, I need to buy the $3 steak because even if I can afford the $10 one, oof, I don't know, you know. I want to go to a restaurant.
The stakes are too high.
Well, no, it's not too high. It's not too high. It's my dream, goddammit. No, but to buy a $10 steak. No, but, you know, I want to go there and be like, okay, I want to buy this and this and this and go here. And I said, you know, without having to worry about, oh, damn, I need to buy this, you know, and I need to pull here this month because maybe the client didn't pay yet, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's freedom. Be able to do what I want anytime I want. I mean, not in a douchey way, but, you know, in the sense of like, I want to go on holiday, then I go. It sounds a bit douchey, but it's
but it's totally true, though. I think that if people were actually want to achieve what they want, we had Silver Edition with one of our co-hosts, Clay Green. I you know, he was on and he's like, you have to be selfish. You have to be able to tap into that what you want, because society teaches us to be unselfish. And the reason for that is because you know, society wants you to be a follower. If you want to be a leader, if you want to do what you actually want to do, you have to know how to tap into what you want. And again, I mean, just so many people don't know how to do that. So, as we're wrapping things up here, what are 4 pointers that someone can start doing today to start living again a lifestyle that really, that again, I mean, the meaning of the show, that they're proud of?
Okay, I will say, first of all, you have to, sounds a bit cheesy, but you should look at yourself in the mirror and say, and decide what you want to do. And I don't know, I'm a person who talks a lot with myself in a not psychopath way, but, and you know, first of all, you have to find that flame inside that it's like, yeah, I want to be, you know, that guy, or I want to do this, or I want to have, you know, this freedom in my life. And that's the first thing to do, is to decide, which, by the way, is the most hard part.
Right.
Because to decide something is really hard, you know, to be able to say to yourself, yeah, I'm, you know, 35, I've been living all my life doing, you know, a shitty job, and I just want to change it and, you know, basically live the life that I want. I guess second thing will be to start doing it, which is obviously also, well, it's not too hard. I guess the beginning is not too hard because you're excited and yeah, like the planning and start working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Third thing is, I would say the grind, which is never ending, I'm afraid. I guess it's up and down. It gets harder, easier. Depends the, you know,
where you are. Depends on the wind of the day, actually. Which way the wind's blowing. Yeah.
But, you know, if it's not learning HTML, it's, you know, learning how to speak with clients. It's learning, you know, how to write emails. It's just, you know, grinding and working. So it's important. And this third part is very important with the first one, because if you don't find that flame and you are not sure about what you want to do, then the third part is really hard, because, you know, if you are doing something that you don't want to do and it's not passionate, then it's almost impossible. And the last part, I will say, and the fourth, I will say, is patience. Because, you know, throughout these 5 years that I've been working in my own company, four or five years, you know, it's just constant up and down. You have great years, you have horrible years, you have, you know, you go through, I don't see any light anywhere. But when you don't see the light, it's especially when you should go to number one and you look at yourself in the mirror and say, it's okay. You know, don't worry, it's going to be cool. Just grind, 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 grind. Number three, and then number four, you know, it will just come. Like, success will come, but you have to just believe on it. Believing is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah, so that will be the 4 points that I will say that are very, very important.
Cool. So, Franz, where can people find your work or get a hold of you if they want to, you know, use you to help them with their next awesome project?
We have two main websites. One is skywarriorthemes.com. Sky as the sky, warrior as a warrior, themes as a themes. .com. And the other one, which is mainly for our themes. And then we also recently we created Skywarrior Studios with S, skywarriorstudios.com, which is mainly for our clients, where we show our previous client work and also tells a bit story about us. But again, you heard it in this podcast, so that's not a problem.
Awesome. All right. Well, Franz, total pleasure having you on today, man. And it was great.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, awesome having you.
Big thanks to Franz for taking the time during his stay on the beach in the Canary Islands to chat with Daniel and myself. You can almost hear the waves crashing in the background as he was talking to us. And, you know, it's amazing how quickly things can come together if you simply focus and don't get distracted by the world around you. Like I said, you know, there's a ton of insight packed into this chat, and you might want to spend some time listening to that second half of the conversation a little bit more. Show notes are available at newinceptions.com/85, and the show note extras for this session include some videos that might seem random without context, but I think they're some pretty great glimpses into Franz's lifestyle. So, I mean, you can really tell after watching them that he's a pretty adventurous guy. There's a couple of videos where he's doing kendo. I don't know if that's the right way to say that, but he's performing kendo or he's fighting in kendo. And then there's a montage of some biking adventures. And finally, there's one where he's in the thick of things in the middle of an airsoft battle. And I mean, these are things that people who have a typical 9-to-5 generally don't do all the time. But it seems that his life is filled with fun activities. As you know, we love hearing from you guys. Please leave a review on the iTunes page by going to newinceptions.com/AOL iTunes. Whenever I get those, I'll be sure to read them on here. Also, if you want to connect with any of us directly regarding any feedback or questions you might have, drop us an email via heyguys@newinceptions.com. Also, if you want to connect with Franz directly,
or any of our past guests, other listeners, or members of the team, you can do that by going to the AOL networking group on Facebook. Find it by going to newinceptions.com/AOL networking. In next week's episode, Layla and I chat with Brian Drury, and I became familiar with Brian from a podcast session he did on the Your Purpose podcast with Zeph Blacksburg, and wanted to see was what all he had accomplished since he had been on that show. And man, I got to tell you, he's a pretty busy guy. Actually had to reschedule a couple of times before I could finally get him on the horn with us. We chat with him about several things, but one thing he shares with us is a game changer. And I think it's the biggest key that I didn't know to being a bestseller on Amazon. Anyway, that one comes out next week. Be sure to like the New Inceptions page to get informed when it's released. And anyhow, that's pretty much all there is to Session 85. Thank you again for joining Franz, Daniel, and myself. And until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter at newinceptions, Instagram at new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.